Welcome to Roundhouse Roulette, a Walker, Texas Ranger podcast. Each week, we recap and review one of the 200 existing Walker, Texas Ranger episodes, randomly selected by Roundhouse Roulette. I'm Evan Dalton, here with my brother Adam, and our fellow Walker connoisseur, Mr. Bob Leahy. What's going on, guys?
Not much, dude.
Hey, yeah. Just chilling.
Well, that's great. Well, we'd like to thank you listeners for joining us as we revisit Chuck Norris's Punch, Pack, and Action TV series. Today, we'll recap and review Season 5, Episode 18, Devil's Turf, in which Walker goes undercover as a substitute teacher to bust a psycho who's selling a lethal combination of drugs to the students. But before we head back to school, join us as we pull up a bar stool at CD's Bar and Grill. Fancy meeting you guys here. What's going on?
Just another day in paradise.
It's been pretty sweltering out there.
We played at the Sutler today, some bluegrass brunch. They had like glass panels in between tables and stuff, and everyone had masks, and I totally pimped our podcast.
How many times did you guys play the Walker Texas Ranger theme song?
Well, I kept talking about it, and then John was like, "We got to play a song, dude." And I was like, "Well, Walker?" And he's like, "No."
These guys are going to kick you out of the band.
Well, it's already down to two of us because we have to play as duos in the setup per the new COVID-19 regulations.
So is there plexiglass between you and the audience and then plexiglass between every person in the band?
Oh, no. I mean, we spit on the audience.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. We can still do that.
They deserve it.
They didn't take our freedom away. But there was somebody from Texas there, because once I said Walker, Texas Ranger, there was a woo. And then when I kept talking about Walker, Texas Ranger, it just got quieter and quieter.
That's weird. I wonder why.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, in keeping with Walker's undercover activities this week, CD has chosen to service up an alter ego American IPA from Treehouse Brewing Company in Charlton, Mass. As described in the Bar and Grill summer draft menu, layers of tropical fruit, mango, and stone fruit are presented here, with a freshness and purity that is genuinely unique and exciting.
I think we'll be the judge of that here, but I am okay. Excited.
Now, this is pretty crazy. The Treehouse Brewing Company is consistently rated in the top 10 best breweries in the world on ratemybeer.com.
Let's hear the sound. Ooh. Sounded pretty good.
Sounds saucy.
I think we, you know, if this podcasting doesn't work out, we could definitely be Foley artists.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'd have one sound down. I think between all these podcasts, if we get one beer pour down.
We'll I heard right. You pouring that into the mic, and I thought it was actually coming from my glass. Like, whoa, that's loud.
That's heady, bro.
All right. Let's give this thing a taste.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very down with that.
It is good.
I could maybe taste some stone fruit, maybe like a peach or something in there.
It keeps evolving. This might take me another 40 minutes, guys.
Okay.
All right. I'm done.
I'm done with mine. Finished it.
Yeah, this tastes great. I dig it.
Yeah. Very good.
And I'm just glad that CD is having you do his beer runs for him, Bob.
Yeah, he's definitely in a higher risk group for sure.
We can't risk CD.
No.
Absolutely not.
I'd take a bullet for the guy, you know.
Which I thought we lost him today, but it was like the diabetes guy passed away, and I was like, oh, thank God it wasn't CD.
Wilfred Brimley?
Oh.
I thought he died a while ago.
I feel like Wilford Brimley was in a couple Walker episodes, at least one.
I'd love to see CD on Brimley, you know, just face-to-face conversation. I mean, that could be like a whole two-man show.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did die. Wow, and he was alive.
Huh. Bob, that's usually how it works.
Well, I'm just surprised that he was actually still alive. I thought he died years ago.
He was alive before he died.
Yeah, it's weird.
And CD passed away, or the actor that portrayed him, Noble Willingham, in 2004.
CD is still alive, though, in our hearts.
Exactly.
And he lives on in all these episodes.
Thank you, CD, for picking out a great beverage for today's show.
Yeah, it's a classy bevy for sure.
I was posting our stuff on Twitter and had been going back and forth with the other Walker Texas Ranger podcast that's out there.
What is our Twitter handle for those intrepid listeners out there?
Roundhouse Pod. Talented Slackers is their podcast. And they've done a lot of action movies, all sorts of awesome stuff like that. I was listening to a few of them. They're on episode 19 of Walker right now, going through them chronologically. I think I didn't see it before because they go by their parent name, Talented Slackers. But yeah, definitely check them out. There's always room for more Walker analysis. They gave us a shout out in the last episode. And did you guys listen to it?
Yeah, I heard a bit of it.
I did get pretty envious when I saw all the other movies they got to comment on.
Yeah, so I think they are actually local in Dallas, so they know like a bunch of the spots. Like they were pointing out, oh, that's like in the warehouse district if you go here. And
that's pretty good.
If we ever do that Dallas trip, we got to hit these guys up.
Yeah. Wouldn't we go location?
So yeah, I think we should totally do a little guest appearance on theirs, and they can certainly do a guest appearance on ours.
Totally. I love it. Check them out, Talented Slackers. Wherever you get your fine podcasts, but
yeah, I love the idea of a different point of view too. You know,
yeah,
those guys are down there; they're living in it. You know, they have a they have a different take on everything than we will. We're kind of the outsiders, which is, I mean, obviously very valuable as well. We have a totally different outlook on this. You know, but they're boots on the ground kind of thing. You know,
ground truthing, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guess we'll check in with the mailbag here.
We heard from one of our super fans, Mr. Jesse Varga. He says that I seriously wanted to say I love your podcast. It's seriously fun and a bright spot in my week.
I don't believe that. There's no way that's true.
Yeah, maybe like a dying flashlight.
We need a little bit of light in this darkness.
Yeah, and it's Walker all the way.
Definitely in the neighborhood, there was quite the beam of light there.
Yes. So shout out to Jesse. We appreciate all you out there listening. Please, yeah, reach out to us on the social medias or drop us an email, and we'd like to hear your thoughts on Walker, on our radio voices, whatever you've got.
I think we've skipped class long enough. If you're watching along at home and don't want any spoilers, hit pause here and watch season 5, episode 18, Devil's Turf, and come back to us. Ah, welcome back. Let's dig in, boys. This episode originally aired on February 15th, so right after Valentine's Day. Very romantic. Mm-mm. 1997, and begins around closing time at Dallas's hottest strip mall squat box, the ever foreboding Devil's Gym. Which, you know, why would you name your gym Devil's Gym?
And let's just talk about the sign off the back here.
Okay.
It's like one of those like fluorescent lights that looks like it's almost in cursive, but since they mounted it inside the door, you can't see all the letters, so it looks like Zevil's Gym.
Just the idea of a fluorescent sign like that on a gym is weird, and then having the name be Devil's Gym. We're off to a rocky start. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's aside from the numerous weird, skeezy photos that were clearly just clipped out of, like, Bodybuilders magazine of just jacked dudes. Like, greased up jacked dudes.
Oh, I love it.
You know who else loves it? The Devil's Gym president, Mick.
Yeah, and this guy is a tank, right?
You guys recognize this guy?
Oh, yeah. So yeah, the whole episode, I was like, who is this guy? Yeah. Who is this guy?
Same thing. I did the
IMDb,
same
thing. It's freaking Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Sam J. Jones. Sam guy Jones. Who plays Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't, you know, it was the hair. Without that white mop.
Yeah, yeah.
He had
yeah.
more naturally, you know, naturally colored hair, so it didn't really look the gosh. Same. But yeah, sure enough. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes complete and total sense because, you know, Flash Gordon, star football player. Mm-hmm. And we learn right off the bat, Mick gets some new clients coming in. We think they just want a new gym membership. There's some high school kids.
Yeah.
No way. They want to be number one. They want to get recruited. They want to get full scholarships for football. And right. then they want to be recruited by one of the, quote, 30 NFL teams, which I believe there are 32 now. And he's going to help them do that because, one, he's Flash Gordon and he can do that. And two, he's got the goods. What goods we talking here?
Look, I'm going to bring you in on a little secret here, guys. You know, it's not an even playing field. And one of the biggest mistakes is thinking that you can do it without a little bit of extra help. I saw your game where you scored 3 touchdowns, and it could have been 4, but it was great. I'm really tight with alumni Jimbo Johnson, who is now playing for the NFL, and he and I go way back. He does this stuff, too. And by this stuff, I mean
Powerball. Not the lottery game.
What is a Powerball, Bob?
Well, I'm glad you asked. That would be a mixture of anabolic steroids and crystal methamphetamine. So 1-2 punch right there.
So pretty much he propositions these, was it 2 or 3?
3 high school kids. And when we first introduce him, like that conversation where he's like, oh yeah, I saw you guys play. You could have been better. It was so awkward. But it was also super clear that they were just making it all up on the spot. So they're like,
even
they're
the name Jimbo Johnson.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, you know, like, oh, I saw you play against Jimbo Johnson, and the other, like, the kid actor's like, oh yeah, Jimbo Johnson, yeah. They're basically pressured into it by one of Mick's henchmen named Jake.
Is he the one with like the most awesome '90s gym pants?
Both of Mick's henchmen. He's got these 2 giant meatheads. One's named Mick, who's like maybe a bit leaner than the other one. And he's wearing these really nasty, like acid washed parachute pants that are white with black polka dots. And the other guy, Tony, he looks like if you were watching Full House and Uncle Jesse was on steroids. That's what he looks like. Yeah. And he's even wearing like the same clothes, the parachute pants and like the giant pink sweatshirt over it. They look ridiculous.
Yeah. It's getting around closing time, and they were kind of like all just working out. And then Mick, the owner of the gym and drug dealer, goes over to the door and you get like the outside shot of the gym. And it's him kind of peeking out over all these pictures of people like pumping iron and changing the open sign to closed, because that's when all the deals go down.
Yeah.
That was an artistic shot for sure.
And then one of his henchmen turns to the high schoolers and he says, come on, boys, stop your grinning and drop your linen. Which then it flashes to like kind of a montage of them like pumping iron. Like,
oh, super epic montage with like
epic music.
Yeah, with like fake Eye of the Tiger music in the background. So good.
Yes. The music was real good this episode.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the guitars were always squealing and they overused like the flanger and chorus effect on the guitar. Ugh.
Good stuff. Those effects on a guitar are kind of like the effects of, I guess, steroids and speed on a guitar.
It was. So. It sounded like they were like, there are no Stratocasters here. This is all Floyd Rose.
Yeah. For sure. It's an artistic choice once again. I guess we're left to assume that they're crushing it at the gym because we don't actually see a full shot of one of them using one of the machines. We just see them using the machines with superimposed images of weights going up and down.
He's like, so,
right. Bow. Bow. So these kids are like using the machines with no weights on them. And then they're like, so when you edit this, it'll look like we're actually lifting lots of weight, right?
Yeah, but still drop your linen.
Wait, this is 1997, right? When is the baseball?
We're in the heart. In the heart of that. The time of that.
They're in on some real life subjects here.
Oh, for sure.
Who knew that Walker was just like Law & Order, ripped from the headlines?
Yeah.
<He's> so topical.
While we're getting this started, too, I mean, this episode, it's like an after-school special like meets Lifetime movie.
I had the same thing in my notes. But you know, at this point where we are chronologically, it hasn't gotten there yet. After these guys get all jacked up and they pump some iron, one of them goes out to his sweet motorcycle. And you can see in his eyes he's kind of a little crazy, you know.
Oh, he's getting shifty.
He's feeling that speed, you know.
Yeah, he's got the power balls.
Yeah, and he rips out of there and he starts riding completely erratically. I noticed he had the helmet on the back seat.
Yeah, yeah. Put it on. Oh, yeah, they made it a point for him to like look at the helmet and then like have these crazy eyes and be like, nah, not gonna wear the helmet. Just going for it.
He's like going in and out of the traffic in like a manic fashion, and the car's like beeping at him, and he almost crashes into something, and he's like, I made it. And then he turns around and he's running right into the side of a box truck. And it's just like, no! And then you're on the other side of the box truck, and you see his motorcycle just peel under it with flames.
Of course it's burning, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I did appreciate crazy that. Explosion. I was like, crazy, well, at least something's burning.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, man, the ultimate wipeout.
They made it a point to show him not putting his helmet on, but he basically crashed into a truck and blew up. Like, if he had his helmet on, he'd still be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
That's debatable, but okay.
And then it like cuts to a crime scene. There's someone who's like taking apart the motorcycle, which doesn't really seem like good police work, but you know, they got to be keeping themselves busy somehow.
They're looking for drugs. Right. He hit him in the motorcycle, in the engine block.
You see this medical examiner come out, and then she's surveying the scene, and all of a sudden, just like Walker and Trevette just creep on. And at this point, it just looks like a Law and Order episode or something. It could take place anywhere. And then you see like these two Texas Rangers with their cowboy hats on, and you're like, oh yeah, this is a Walker episode.
Yeah, well, I knew at the moment the camera started panning, I'm like, okay. Walker and Javert are just going to be right there finally. Okay.
And then the mother appears, right?
Oh my God.
So yeah. I don't know if they have talked about anything yet or if it's just the mother shows up. This woman has to be the worst actress I've ever heard. She gets to the police line and then figures out what's going on and then just starts bawling. It's just so unbelievable. It's just terrible.
Oh no!
Because at first I looked and I'm like, is the kid dead? He looked fine. You know, if someone actually wrecked their motorcycle in that truck, you probably wouldn't really recognize their face very much.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he put his helmet on last minute.
Yeah, maybe.
Or all of the gel in his bowl cut saved him.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's one reason to have a bowl cut. It's a little extra protection.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I should say, if he was going helmetless, he probably would have gotten that fourth touchdown last season.
So the sad mother comes over, right? And she just makes a huge scene. And she got there pretty quick. They're literally carting him off in the ambulance, right? And she comes in and starts screaming. And there's like a female detective who is not fazed by the mother at all, but kind of just surveying the scene as if like she's taking in all the evidence in like 2 seconds. And then she turns to Walker and Trevette and she goes, this looks like another Powerball.
Yeah, because you can definitely tell that from just looking at a crime scene.
Right, from a wipeout on a motorcycle. They're pretty much death machines by design.
But, you know, you had the Powerball and oof.
Well, she had her little bit of exposition there, which is, you know, they're covering their tracks for if they edit out what a Powerball is earlier on. Yeah. She's like, boy, this mix of steroids and methamphetamines is really catching on with the kids.
Wow, and what's that called again?
It's called a Powerball.
Mm. Oh, okay, yeah. Mm. Right. Yes. Mm. Make sure we're on the same page. Mm.
It sounded familiar when she said it, but I was glad she did. It reminded me from what happened 2 minutes ago.
And Trevette's like, oh man, this is like the fourth or sixth case this week.
I mean, it's getting pretty serious. And he's like, someone's got to stop it.
And then Walker's like, I think I've got an idea.
Mm. Did he actually say that?
He did.
Okay. All right, good.
Like, oh, all right.
Cut to an arm wrestling match in a classroom. Fantastic.
And one of the kids who was getting jacked up on Powerball is now in his high school class arm wrestling 2 students and beating both of them because obviously he's jacked up on this Powerball stuff.
And in one night, it made all the difference.
Yeah.
So yeah, this kid, Tommy. And the names of the students in this episode are also completely ridiculous.
It's going to be confusing because it's all like Jimmy, Tommy, Billy, Bob.
There's a Tommy, a Billy, a Danny, and a Joey. I mean, I guess they already used Jim Bob earlier on, so they couldn't use that. You know, there's all this hip-hop music playing in the background. You're like, man, this is a crazy classroom. Like, what is going on here? And they're like, oh, I hear there's like a new substitute teacher. And they're like, what? And then a finger presses stop on the cool boom box and zoom out. Hi, my name's Mr. Walker. I'm your new substitute teacher. Boom, cut to credits. I'm in. I'm hooked.
Wow. 100%.
So we come back from the credits. Are we right back in the classroom?
We are right back in the classroom.
And what's going on with Walker's attire? Something different about his elbows.
Well, he has a little extra protection.
Is that from all the thinking?
Yeah, I think so. You know,
The patches on the elbows is a great touch.
Very tasty.
You know, those leather patches on the elbows actually give him an edge if he has to partake in feats of strength, which we'll get to in a little while.
Can we just take a second to talk about the students in the classroom here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right off the bat, his classroom management skills are being put to the test. I mean, first off, kids never take a substitute teacher seriously,
right.
And let alone a group of students that are this breakfast clubby.
Yeah. Like, I think some of these people are in their 30s. Right?
It's
very
likely.
What I thought about the first guy he interacts with.
Yeah.
He definitely seemed like he was much older.
Walker kind of has like a showdown with this guy, and he's like, oh, take a seat. And he's like, oh, sure. And he picks up the desk instead. And Walker has like a whole showdown with him.
And the whole class is laughing, like, oh, he's clowning with the substitute teacher. What's the sub going to do?
Right. Then Walker like savagely twists this kid's wrist. And this one student's like, what are you doing? You can't do that. And Walker's got this look in his face like, oh, crap. Yeah, I can't do that.
No, he's like, if you want to go to report this to the principal's office, I'll write you a slip. And the kid goes, no.
We're cool.
that won't be necessary.
But you better watch your back, Walker.
Mm.
And then Walker tells him to sit down, and the whole class starts like barking like dogs. Woof, 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 woof. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Pretty intense.
So Billy is one of the main guys in the initial meeting at Devil's Gym, and he's kind of the one that brought all the other students there to get these drugs so they can pump up. And he's also in Walker's class. And when the other kid is kind of taunting Walker by picking up his desk, everyone's kind of just like, you're a substitute, man. You know, you're supposed to just like get away with whatever. And he goes, you're a substitute. Which rhymes with prostitute.
There's some bright kids there. I mean, they understand the subtlety of slant rhyme.
So finally, Walker kind of settles down the class, and what happens?
So after class, you know, we assume that Walker's just like going home or something. He starts getting trailed by this kid who was ribbing him in class. I'm like, oh man, is he going to like try to shake down Walker for making him look foolish in class. Mm-hmm. And Walker keeps walking and walking and walking, and he gets into the heart of the school, like sub-basement level.
Like Freddy Krueger
level. What is he doing down there?
Where is he going? Yeah. And all of a sudden, this kid's like, hey, Walker. And we're like, oh, man, they're going to have a showdown. And then Walker stares him down, and they both smile. Because this kid, Adam's absolutely right, is probably 30-something years old, and he's an undercover agent in the class. Which begs the question, if there's already an undercover agent in class, why does Walker have to be there?
If that kid's an undercover agent, then that means that like pretty much all the other students would have to be undercover agents too, because they're all like 30.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, the steroids, they make you look older. They age you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's kind of like Walker's informant. He just got out of the police academy, and this is his first assignment. It's to go undercover at the high school to try to break up this Powerball ring. And he's reporting to Walker in the annals of the high school.
Way, way down in the basement.
Way down in the hole.
I guess we can bring up the fact that this guy, whose name is Danny, he has a brother who works for the school named Joey, who's a custodian that's not all there. And I think we can probably edit that out because he really doesn't add anything to this episode.
No, we need to talk about him right now. So they're in the basement, and we finally find out that the guy who was clowning on Walker in class is an undercover agent. And he's like, hey, Walker, I want you to meet my brother, Joey. And they're already in the basement where the janitor would hang out. And so they introduce him to Joey, and off the bat, you're like, oh, he's, you know, the janitor, and it seems like he might have a mental disability. I think he actually provides some evidence to Walker. Is that right? What happens here?
Yeah, he found some needles in one of the lockers. And so he collected them and showed them to his brother, who is now showing them to Walker. So he collected some crucial evidence that's later used to incriminate some bad guys later
on. And he's like, Walker, I saw on TV that I'm not supposed to touch the
evidence.
Oh, yes, evidence. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, you know,
right. I'm not all there sometimes.
Sometimes my mind don't work so good. And that's when I was like, okay, you guys really shouldn't have had this guy in the episode if you're going to write shit like that for him to say. God damn it, you guys.
And Walker's like, well, this time you did real good.
And then it gets even worse because then we find out he owns mice. He's taking care of baby mice like in the book of Mice and Men. Which he's so strong, but he loves these little animals, but he ends up killing all these little animals in the book. And I'm like, oh no, this cannot end well for these mice. No. And then after Walker thanks him for the evidence, he shakes Walker's hand, okay? And he shakes it so hard that Walker winces at the power of his handshake. And then you're like, oh no, he's got the mice. He's got super strength. Yep. This is not. No. Please, you guys shouldn't have touched on this topic.
But at this point, I thought that that's where the whole episode was going to go. Like, this guy was going to be a focal point for the episode.
Yeah, he might have been the one that actually is giving people the drugs or something. I don't know. But yeah, so there were so many, like, just subtle things there that you're like, they're obviously referencing of Mice and Men multiple times here. I'm kind of afraid where this is going to go, but let's see what happens. As another side note, and I think another reason why we need to bring up Joey and this actor, who is Eric Bruscotter, he also plays another mentally challenged individual a season earlier in Walker, Texas Ranger, with a parallel to Of Mice and Men.
Oh, jeez.
He works on a farm of mice and men.
Okay.
That's one.
Was his name Lenny this time?
It might as well have been. I'm sure they're farm animals, like the mice and stuff, in this other episode. But the owner of the farm, a woman, dies unexpectedly, and the whole town thinks he did it.
Oh, that's right. They're gonna lynch him.
It's called the lynching.
Yep.
Same actor.
I didn't realize it was the same guy. Okay, so these weird literary references, this is a great sort of microcosm of the writing that goes into these episodes. Because they're like, well, you know, we started reading Of Mice and Men, but we didn't finish it, but we can still reference it, kind of.
They could have easily taken out the mice in this episode. I think the only reason to have the mice in there is to scare viewers into thinking that they might actually try to do something like the book. I was frightened, but anyway, we'll have to kind of work that into some sort of segment there. But
will we?
He definitely. You can pretty much cut him out of the episode. Totally. Let's
for
be honest.
Sure. For sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
It probably would be less dangerous, but I think we needed to kind of jump in there a little bit.
He's the equivalent of the child actor in Top Dog. Will they? Won't they?
Except he does more in this than the child actor in Top Dog, because he actually provides evidence. Hmm.
True. True.
The kid was just there. Now, yeah. You could argue the mice was like the kid in Top Dog, and then you would be correct.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
All right. So, they're in the basement. Walker meets up with his informant, meets his brother, gets a little more information, some evidence.
Then Walker goes back to the office, and job as a teacher is tough. He's got a great homework.
He gives Trivette some evidence. He's like, hey, can you get this tested for me? And Trivette, he has maybe like less than a minute in this episode. And I'm thinking like, they literally give him like a panning shot as he hands him the evidence. And Walker walks to his desk and he goes, okay, yes, I'll go get this tested. Hey, do you want to get something to eat? And I think that's like the last time we see Trivette in this episode.
Now, Trivette does like over explain the testing that he's going to do. in hey, in true at fashion.
In a slow pan. Oh, I wonder if
this is the same as that, you know.
Okay.
We can cross test this with the other. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like in a passing moment that he says all that stuff. It's literally gone like that. And as he's handed the evidence, Walker's walking to his desk. He's explaining this kind of like testing procedure and then gets to Walker's desk. And Walker's plopping down like some files and stuff from the school. And he's like, hey, Walker, you want to grab something to eat? And he goes, I'm sorry, I can't, Trivette, because I need to grade my papers.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And Trivette's like, oh, man, being a teacher isn't easy, is it?
Yeah. It's great. You know, teachers need the acknowledgement. I think more so now than ever. So, you know, this is great.
At which point, Christy comes over and brings Walker some coffee. Who's Christy?
I'm curious. We might see her again. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, thanks, Christy.
The only advantage to watching these in order is that we kind of keep tabs on some of these random characters.
True.
But I really doubt she ever. She's never going to appear
again. She's gone.
Christy is actually the second boom hand, and that's just her name. And she was giving Chuck Norris a cup of coffee on set. And they just kept it in.
That was actually, they're like,
but it just worked out, yeah.
So he's grading homework. He lets out a deep sigh, which, you know, doesn't help grading homework. And then it shows him in class the next morning, and he's like, I just graded your homework, and here's what I think about it. And he drops it in the trash can.
I love that so much.
And then young upstart Billy comes over, and he says, nah, man. You got it in the wrong place. And he goes and puts it in the recycling bin. So it's pretty clear, once again, Walker's got his hands full with classroom management. And he's got to sort of lay down the law. And they're like, man, why do you even care about us? You're a substitute teacher. And Walker's like, because I'm supposed to care.
And they're like, Mrs. Jenkins, just let us do whatever we want. And he's like, do I look like Mrs. Jenkins? And they're like, oh, well, she had a mustache, and you got kind of more of a whole beard, so.
Zingers keep coming.
So this is maybe one of the highlights of this episode. Next is a little incident with a soda can.
So Walker turns around back towards the blackboard, and Billy has a soda can on his desk, and he crushes it up, and he zings it right at Walker, and Walker, standing facing the blackboard still, back to the class, grabs the can coming at him from behind and throws it backwards without ever turning around, and it zings Billy right in the face.
And the whole class is just like, ooh.
So apparently Walker has some sort of radar. He's like a bat or something.
He has like a helmet of hair in the back. There's probably eyes underneath that.
It could be.
Very sensitive nerve endings that could sense things coming. He could feel the wind before it was there, and he could locate it.
He kind of like turns around slowly and like, that's right.
Yeah.
Well,
cue the cheesy music for the transition to the next scene.
Yeah, everyone's disbelief.
Saved by the Bell or something.
It was like Saved by the Bell mixed with like a Cantaloupe Island kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's building more street cred for Walker as a badass. And that's what the kids respect. You think it was him, not a stunt double?
You think Billy had a stunt double?
No, Walker.
Oh, no. I think he actually caught that and threw it back and nailed him right in the face. Without a doubt.
First take, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to show you the recycling bin.
So, you know, he's trying to teach them, and they're still putting up a fight the next day. You know, they're just not doing their homework. And Walker's like, you got to do your homework. We're not going to do that. And he singles out Tommy, if we recall Tommy, the steroid user. He's like, why aren't you doing your homework? And he's like, no, man, that's not me. I never do my homework. And he's like, tell you what, I'll arm wrestle you. And if I win, you've got to do your homework the rest of the school year. If I lose, you don't have to do your homework.
And Billy's like, hey, what about the rest of the class, man?
He doubles down. He's like, you know what? If Tommy wins, none of you guys have to do your homework.
It's worth pointing out that Tommy is the one who is arm wrestling two people at the very beginning of the episode and easily beating them after he just got jacked up with some Powerball. And at this point, Walker is like pushing 60, and he's going to attempt to arm wrestle a steroided football player. This is going to be good TV.
High school football player played by a 30-year-old. Yeah, obviously, a lot of fanfare around it. I think Walker, he could have used those aforementioned leather pads on his elbows to help propel him to victory.
So they sit down at the front desk where the teacher is, right? And Walker's sitting down on his side, and Tommy is getting ready, and everyone's like, yeah, Tommy, go. And he's like, this is going to be a piece of cake, guys. I got this. And then he sits down, and I think his girlfriend, Nina, is like, I'm going to officiate. And she like kind of counts off the arm wrestle. I'm like, do you really like officiate an arm wrestle? But okay, whatever. And so she counts it off, and then they start, and Tommy is like beating Walker. And he's like, I'm going to take you down, Walker. And Walker doesn't really show a lot of emotion. He's kind of gets to like almost a quarter more to lose. And then Walker just gradually starts coming back, which I personally didn't expect at all. Did you guys?
If you thought Walker was going to lose this, you've never watched an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
I expected him to act like he wasn't trying.
Yeah.
And then once he gets down, and then he, you know, winks at him or something and then goes all in and slams it down. I was kind of expecting that. So the reality lies somewhere in between those two scenarios. So.
Exactly. And he gets to about winning, and the door to the hallway is open. And I think it's the principal kind of like walks by. And, like, the whole class is kind of like, yeah, yeah. And he's arm wrestling a student on his desk. And he walks by and then must be, like, done, like, a double take mentally and pokes his head back in there right as Walker's about to beat Tommy. And Walker slams Tommy's arm down on the table. The principal says, what's going on in here? I thought this was a history class.
Walker's like, it is. And he's history.
There's so many mic drops in this episode. I mean, this is like
definitely
at least 10 years before that was even a phrase, but so many mic drops. Oh.
And I guess I got Walker out of trouble.
Yeah, well, I would think under normal circumstances, that would be grounds for termination.
Yeah, this principal is a real piece of work.
He's a pushover.
Yeah, he just rolls his eyes. And
he kind of hates students.
Yeah, he definitely does. We'll hear more about that later. But
yeah. It's maybe
he has
the
no
most
faith in these kids.
Maybe the most accurate part of this episode.
Yeah.
So true.
So homework for everybody. And, you know, that kind of leaves the viewers with a nice positive feeling leaving that scene. But very soon afterwards, we see Billy walking around. He seems to be walking around in like the same basement.
I think it's maybe like a locker room, but it's...
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
But there's like chain link fences, and it looks also like the furnace room, so I don't know. They like put some lockers in the furnace room, and now
there
it's
There were some gym
room.
Equipment, I think, in there. You're right. I think it is like the, you know, I wasn't on the football team. Did you guys know that?
Oh,
really? That's
really?
Surprising.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And which is why I purchased deaththefootball.com. The high school coach just wouldn't let me on the team.
Well, that's kind of in bad taste here, because when the two meathead goons, Tony and Jake, go to shake down Billy for money, apparently they beat him up real bad, but they kind of underplay it. And then, yeah, they did. And then sure. Danny, the undercover kid, discovers Billy's body, and we're like, oh man, Billy looks like he's been beat up real bad. Like, I hope he's all right. And then cut to like a basketball game, and some teacher's saying to Walker, oh, it's a shame about Billy, but these kids are so used to loss. And you're like, wait, Billy's dead?
Yeah.
Why the hell are they playing a basketball game? This is ridiculous.
The gym ringleader.
Flash Gordon?
Mick.
Yeah. The drug dealer sent his lackeys to shake down Billy for money because he hadn't paid him yet for the steroids. And yeah, they wind up killing him.
The best was that they start beating on him, and they're punching him, right? And then when they show him afterwards, he's like just laying down unconscious.
Yeah.
And you show his face. It's like, how do you kill someone by beating them? Like, wouldn't his face have like bruises on it?
I mean, more, the real question is,
very confusing.
What school would be open like the day after one of their students was found beaten to death in the locker room?
Yeah.
And they're playing basketball. They would have had to use the locker room. For basketball. Isn't the locker room a crime scene now?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's going on?
I feel like a lot of this is they shot some of these scenes and then they're just like, well,
how can we piece these together?
Yeah, pretty much.
They'll just make it like he died.
Yeah.
Or they didn't want to show him die or like have him die in a gruesome way because it's a high school kid. Maybe that's what it is. I don't
know. He wasn't, though. He's like 40. But okay.
Well, yeah, that's another problem. Tangled web of lies.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Unbelievable.
So at this basketball team, one of the teachers is like, oh, it's so amazing what you're doing with your students. You're so different from everyone else. And she's like, have you given any thought to the AP tests? And he's like, oh, I'm going to need, you know, 24 of them or how many are in his class. And the principal overhears this and he's like, what? That class is a bunch of losers. They don't need any of them. Yeah. And he's like, they don't take directions or anything. And then like the kids on the basketball court right at that time are getting in a fight. And Walker's like, break it up, play basketball. And they break up and play basketball. And so that's supposed to be an indication of how he's got them wrapped around his finger. And he's right. like, I'll need those AP tests.
Pretty much the principal kind of does like a bobblehead and it's like, we'll see him as he walks away.
And Walker's like, you guys want to take the AP test? And they're like, do you know what that is? We're all stupid in here. We don't want to take the AP test. And he's like,
you may not be the best,
but you're not stupid.
He's like, you're just afraid. And then Tommy's like, afraid of what, Walker?
Afraid to fail.
Yeah. So that pretty much is Lace's, like, him putting it out there. Hey, you guys can take the test.
It's pushing along the narrative that Walker is a inspirational figure no matter what he does, right? Be it in law enforcement, church groups, martial arts, which we'll get to more of that later.
Oh, yeah.
And I think at the end of this scene, Nina, who is Tommy's girlfriend, comes up to Walker and says, thanks for believing in us, Walker. You're welcome, Nina.
Yeah, and that starts a weird thing between those two, too, which is off-putting, to say the least. I found, anyway.
I don't know what you mean.
It must have been the last class of the day because everyone's filing out of the school, and Flash Gordon's goons are waiting for Tommy outside the school because they can no longer get the money from Billy, and they've been told to get the money from Tommy and then just to cut off ties with Tommy entirely. And so they pull up in this yellow, like, muscle car.
It's a right? Chevy SS. Classic.
So cool. And they look like they're too big to fit into the car, too. Because when they get out, they're like trying to fit a He-Man into like a Matchbox car is what it's like.
They definitely cast like guys that actually used steroids in the late 90s.
Definitely.
They did look like it.
Oh, my gosh.
At one point, I saw they had like shirts on. And it almost looked like they had padding.
Yeah. I think like Flash Gordon literally tucks in his gray like sweatshirt in one of the scenes. His arms are so back like that. It's like a tent going down to his belt.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that hand shot that goes up to him at one point, so good.
Yeah, his outfits are pretty epic.
But anyway, his goons shake down Tommy and they're like, yeah, hey, we're cutting you off, but we need our money first, and then we never want to see you again. And Tommy's like, what? You're cutting me off from getting the Powerball? Everybody knows that Flash Gordon's the only guy in town selling this stuff, and I'm not going to be able to get it. And they're like, well, it sounds like a personal problem. At which point, Walker walks up, okay? And he's like, is there a problem here? Tommy's like, oh, no, there's no problem, Walker. And then they're like, who are you, and what are you going to do about it?
They kind of challenge Walker, but they get back in their car.
Yeah, they kind of submit.
They know better.
And we should also point out that Walker had a little backup from Joey.
For sure. And not only that, we should also point out the fact that the yellow muscle car has the vanity plate bigger.
Yeah, I'm assuming for bigger muscles.
We're going to roll with that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, you know, because I've heard steroids, you know, shrink your penis.
So you're saying they're compensating?
So they're basically, not only are they compensating, but they're at least owning up to it.
Yeah. It's more of an aspirational plight.
For sure. So, you know, Walker's got a pretty busy few hours here because not only is he helping Tommy escape getting shaken down by these goons outside the school, but, you know, a few hours later, Tommy's girlfriend, Nina, is getting off her shift at the diner, and she comes out and she starts getting harassed by these gang members in this car, and they start assaulting her, and Walker pulls up He's always in the right place at the right time. I guess he felt a hankering for some meatloaf and he was going down to the diner.
But did you notice the car he was driving?
It was badass, wasn't it?
It's this undercover car. It's like the Uncle Buck mobile.
Okay. Is that a recurring undercover vehicle? Because when I first saw that, I wasn't thrilled.
Yeah. Was he there shadowing Nina or was he there to get meatloaf? I don't know.
It was,
I think,
weird.
He was just driving by. He just happened to be driving by.
We'll just say it was a coincidence.
Yeah, so Nina's in the middle of getting assaulted by this group of gang members, and Walker pulls up in this olive green, nasty-ass Pontiac car, and he kicks some serious ass, saves her.
And this is really the first fight scene that we get to see him actually do some fighting, and he does some great moves in this.
He's all over it, for sure.
Yeah, I think there was one on-the-ground roundhouse kick that he has a pretty good spin. Right.
Oh, yeah. He's got some good roundhouse kicks in this episode.
And he kind of dismantles two of the goons with some awesome kicks. And then this other guy, the last remaining guy, is like, he pulls a knife and says, "Come at me." And Walker's like, "You can take this back. I wouldn't want to hurt you," or something like that.
Yeah. I love it when they show the guy holding the knife and then they kind of zoom on the knife. And then Walker just does like this lame kind of kick real quick and just kicks the knife away.
The knife's like instantly gone.
Gone.
And Walker easily takes him to the ground, goes over, consoles Nina, and he pretty much says, "You guys get in the car and get out of here." He doesn't even arrest him.
Well, because he's not a cop. He's a substitute teacher.
True. He didn't want to blow his cover.
He's using his same name that he...
It's clever.
Yeah.
So he gives Nina a ride home.
Yeah, he does.
And this is where the whole Nina Walker thing gets even grosser for me.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know if it gets gross. It just kind of gets like, what?
It's like, "You know those guys," or something like that. It's like, "Yeah, they want me to join their gang."
He's like, "Well, why haven't you?"
Which is not the right question to ask. It's just, good. Don't.
Right.
Right.
So what's stopping you? Like, those guys seem pretty established. I mean, you should really think about joining up. It's probably a good career move.
Yeah. She goes, "Oh, the initiation is what's stopping me." And he's like, "What's that?" She's like, "Well, the initiation involves me having sex with every single one of the gang members." Yeah.
And he has no response to this whatsoever. And then he's like, that shows great courage.
This is what he said. I wrote it down. "Well, I have to give you credit for standing up for yourself like that." And then immediately says, "Sure wish you would stand up for yourself like that in class, though."
Right. Like, come on. She just like opened her soul and like... Oh, yeah. My God.
The girl's
so
been
awful.
Having this gang of hoodlums try to get her into the gang so that they could all have sex with her for like 5 or 6 years. And that's the amount of compassion that you're going to give her? God damn, Walker.
I think Walker just happened to look down and see the patches on his elbow. And he was like, "Oh, wait, I'm a teacher. You should try harder in class."
Maybe.
Well, fortunately, she's a teenager. And the ridiculousness of his request of her went right over her head. And the legend begins to grow of Walker's epic nature as we cut to a scene of Nina explaining and sort of maybe telling a few tall tales, maybe exaggerating a little bit what Walker did.
Mr. Walker, he came out there and he swung a few kicks and these guys just submitted.
They were like 300 pounds, huge people.
Is that what she was saying?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
well, maybe they didn't film that scene yet.
Right?
It could have been filmed out of order.
Right.
So everyone in class is like, "Oh, man, Walker's respect has grown even more after that arm wrestling match, all the disses he's thrown back at the kids.
Catching the can."
Yeah. The can in the face to the kid who's now dead.
Oof. Yeah.
Too soon.
So when one of the kids is like, "Hey, man, that was really cool what you did for Nina. She told us what you did. Could you maybe teach us some of those moves? We really want to learn from you." And he was like, "I'll do it if you guys all take the AP test." And you're like, game, set, match.
Yeah,
he's got them under his thumb.
He's
going to
teach the whole class karate. And Tommy, the guy who's being shaked down by Flash Gordon and his goons and who was on steroids, is like, "Oh, man, my worst nightmare, a teacher with a black belt." Yeah, so they set it up for Walker to teach the class karate after school. I mean, as if he already doesn't have enough to do. He's got great papers, and now he's like a phys ed teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to start going to PTA meetings and school board. He's getting way too into it. He's got to remember he's a ranger first.
So while he's busy teaching class, Danny, the undercover student, has decided to take matters into his own hands, and he's run the plate bigger, and he's tracked it down to the Devil's Gym. And so he's sort of creeping on the Devil's Gym and watching these goons.
With a very inconspicuous long lens camera.
Huge camera. Yeah.
And did you guys catch, I mean, I know we talked about their pants earlier, but the pajama pants this guy had.
Oh, those are epic. Yeah, I can't even describe them.
Plaid parachute pants.
They look like pajama pants.
But they're like the early 90s kind of patterns you would see. You would never see that pattern now. Not even in like a retro way.
I would just, in an ironic way. I would describe them with four P's. Pastel plaid parachute pants.
I take that back. Yeah. Have you guys seen the Netflix show Slobby Robbie?
No.
Oh, man, you really should watch it. It's this guy in the Midwest who runs like this thrift shop, and he sells like Tommy Hilfiger and all these early 90s clothes for like $100 a pop, sometimes more. If he had those pants, they'd be like $500.
And like the extra, extra large, light pink sweatshirt that's just like way too big.
The pants have the nice, the tight elastic around the waist, and I'm sure at the ankles.
Yeah. Well, it's perfect for mobility.
Oh, yeah.
Great mobility.
Yeah. You don't want those getting caught on your pegs. You know.
I mean, the question is that dude going commando?
I don't know. It's hard to tell after all the steroids, so that's one of the plus.
So, yeah, Danny's just like completely conspicuously taking photos with a giant telephoto lens of like right across the street of this gym. And he's taking photos of the dude in the plaid parachute pants.
Yeah.
And immediately after looking down from his camera lens, the guy in the parachute pants is outside his car and punches him out.
Coming from the other direction too, right?
Yeah, he's got like teleporting powers. Definitely the same guy.
That punch out scene was fantastic, though. It was like, just hit. Did he hit the camera or just take the camera down? But he just, like, the angle of the shot was like just punched right in the face, and he just falls it straight backwards. It was beautiful.
That's pretty good.
Well, he probably used mirrors as a trick. You know, he's not just a jock, man. He's a tricky cat.
He's a career criminal, you know, professional.
Certainly possible. Yeah. So this guy, he takes out Danny.
He's being held in the Devil's Gym, chained up to a chair, which we'll get back to later.
And Walker realizes, wait, Danny wasn't in class today. Like, great teacher, right? And he's like, oh, I wonder where he is. So they're like, oh, yeah, he ran some plates for this thing. You should go check it out. So Walker rushes over to the Devil's Gym. Mm-hmm. And while he's there, he only encounters one thug, Jake, while the others escape in the yellow sports car.
You go, oh, it's that teacher.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and Flash Gordon's like, get rid of him.
Yeah, he's like, cover for me. I'm going out the back door. You know what I'm saying? Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which, to that I would say, like, things really escalated quickly for the Devil's Gym. Like, you know, they started out and they're like, okay, well, you know, we got a couple guys in here who shoot steroids, you know, there's all that. And then they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll start distributing to kids, which, not so great. And they're like, okay, we'll keep recruiting these kids. And like, wait, but now we need these kids to pay us thousands of dollars, which, come on now, it's the late 90s. Where is a kid going to get thousands of dollars?
Well, selling drugs like that, and then, oops, we killed Billy.
Yep. Okay, let's shake this guy down. Oh, we just murdered a child in his school. Yeah.
But it's okay because he wasn't the first person killed in the episode.
But they didn't actually murder the kid on the speed bike. Okay. So his thugs now murdered a kid in a school, okay?
And you think African American student.
Right. You think at that point they'd be like, okay, we should probably just hang back and not do anything else and just separate ourselves from the situation. Instead, they're about to be questioned by a teacher and they're like, okay, let's murder that guy too. Sure. Like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then their final play at the end, we'll get to it, but that's just even more insane. It escalated quite quickly for them.
I love it. So Walker shakes down the guy who was left behind to allow Flash Gordon to escape from the Devil's Gym. And what does he find out?
I don't think he gets anything, does he?
No.
And he didn't fight him either, didn't he? Just like...
No, he kicks him a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah. Because he kind of grabbed his wrist and made him tell him where Flash Gordon was. That's when he saw the car driving away in the back. Yeah.
Right.
And then the other guy came back. Walker, he kicked him. I guess it was a fight. I don't know.
I considered it a fight. It was a pretty lame one, but, you know, the guy's hopped up on steroids.
Yeah.
So at this point, Trevette shows up and Walker's leaving the building, and Trevette's like, oh, what happened? And Walker's like, oh, there's a guy in there, book him. And Trevette's like, okay, for what? Which is an excellent question.
Yeah, no, and you don't need any information.
Right, yeah. Walker's like, lying, and that's it.
He was an expert at lying.
You know, Walker goes back to school, and he's like, okay, well, it's after school now, so I guess I'll teach my first karate lesson. And so he's teaching him how to kick and punch, and you're like, okay, this looks like one of the normal sort of, you know, montages of Walker with his students and all that stuff. And then, right. Right. And then he's like, oh, you know, sometimes you'll be in close quarters, you won't be able to kick and punch. What's an instance of someone holding you down? And Tommy's all like, a headlock. And Walker's like, okay, can you put me in a headlock? And it was like, it was just like Rex Kwon Do, where he's like, he's like, will you come and get me? Or like, give me your best shot. And then he like, just like completely distributes pain to this person.
Yeah, Tommy's the roided up guy puts Walker in a headlock. Tommy's like, you're not going to be able to get out of this. And then Walker's like, I don't know. Tommy's like, well, I've eaten my words before, but...
It's going to be pretty tough. And Walker's like, now, class, there are certain parts of the human body that are extremely sensitive. I'm going to push this spot on Tommy's neck, and it's going to hurt like crazy. And then he, like, pushes, he, like, jabs this spot on Tommy's neck, and he's like, ah!
And then he's like, that's just one.
He's like, here's that's
another one.
Yeah, here's my favorite.
Yeah. And he's like, Tommy's like, oh God, okay. And he proceeds to pull Tommy's nose backwards until it hurts.
Right. And that's Walker's self-proclaimed favorite move. So we got to watch for that later. I think we've seen it already. But his favorite move is apparently reaching over someone's face, grabbing the bottom of their nose and pulling it towards the top of their head.
He's like, yeah!
It's like, is this really a sanctioned after school activity? This seems pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of danger, though, while they're doing this karate class, it's a busy day again. The yellow sports car pulls up in front of the school, dumps off Danny's bruised and battered body, and cruises off.
Oh, no.
That obviously causes quite a stir, and Walker and Danny's brother,
the janitor,
Joey, end up at our favorite set on Walker, Texas Ranger. It's the hospital waiting room.
And which, this is a real hospital, and I found out that the actor who played the doctor on the Neighborhood episode that we were making fun of, where like, that guy's so terrible, is actually a real doctor.
I'll explain why he's not a good actor.
Yeah, I think they use actual doctors, which is kind of cool. Which I think there was a nurse in this one that looked like she might have also been just like, oh yeah, sure, I'll be on Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much to convince me that any of the actors in the hospital are actual hospital staff.
So while Walker's in the hospital waiting to hear about Danny, who's been beaten up pretty bad.
They don't know if he's going to make it. I'd like to make that point here. Like,
true.
I don't know. He's got a lot of internal bleeding. Mm-hmm. He's in really rough shape. He might not make it.
You know, when you get out of the police force, right, and your first assignment is to go undercover at a high school, you probably don't expect that you're going to end up in the ICU.
That's fair. Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Then again, he was friends with Walker, so you should expect all of that.
It's literally a devil's deal, and he was hanging out on devil's turf, and he got what he was asking for at the devil's gym.
Mm-hmm. Well, per our fan mail from last week, this is another, quote, old friend of Walker's who found himself
in a less than ideal situation, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So while he's doing that, Trevette is busy trying to shake down Jake in the interrogation room. Jake being one of the henchmen from Devil's Gym, a murderous meathead, if you will.
Yeah.
Jake apparently has been tied to these crimes because his fingerprints were all over the school locker room.
So go
good
figure.
Job, Jake. Good job.
Duh.
So that's all happening. And, you know, like I said, things are escalating pretty quickly at Devil's Gym. Mick, the gym leader, and his henchman Tony decide things have gone too far. And instead of, you know, running away or moving somewhere, they're going to find Tommy, regardless of where that is. In this case, Tommy's at the school where one of their friends just murdered another child. And they're going to go and murder Tommy now.
Yeah.
You know, that's the plan.
Naturally.
And they get to the school, and they've got some other henchmen with them who definitely don't look like they spend time at the gym.
I think one of them might have been one of the original guys that looked like the gym, but there's definitely one that had like a plaid shirt and he was like fat and had a mustache.
Yeah, it's like a really short dude with a mustache.
Oh my gosh.
Is this guy like a farmer or something? Right.
He was just looking for a day's work, you know?
Why not? Why not?
They realize, oh, Tommy's here with his girlfriend Nina, so I guess we'll kill both of them because, you know, sure.
She probably knows anyway.
Yeah.
Remembering that definitely. They originally wanted to get the money for the drugs that they gave these guys. Right. And they already made the mistake of killing the first kid instead of getting the money. Right. So now instead of getting the money from the second kid, they're going to kill him and his girlfriend because she knows about it. So
right. And we'll get no money from the situation.
No money, yeah.
Right. Well, keep in mind, these guys do not learn because this is actually the third would-be death that we've seen in this episode. Because remember the motorcycle kid?
Yeah.
He crashed into a truck and he didn't pay them.
Yeah, let's be honest here, guys. They definitely fudged their way through high school just to stay on the football team.
It's a pretty awful business model.
Yeah.
So, of course, they go to kill Tommy and his girlfriend, and I'm thinking, oh, this is a great time for Tommy and his girlfriend to show off their brand new self-defense skills that they learned.
Right.
But no. Nope. They just roll on over. They're thrown in a cage of some sort.
They're about to inject Tommy with a drug so that it looks like he OD'd, and I guess they're going to do the same thing to his girlfriend.
They were going to snap her neck. They had the story all worked out. They're like, oh, you know, you were fighting with her and you snapped her neck, and then you felt so bad that, you know, you injected yourself with the steroids and killed yourself. And then they said, it's very much a Romeo and Juliet thing.
Oh, they really did think this out. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so then Walker and Trivette bust in, and they just start busting heads. You know, Trivette takes on the creepy guy who doesn't look like he goes to the gym and might be part midget and has a mustache.
Walker's going toe-to-toe with Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
And Flash Gordon is, like, probably, you know, at least a foot taller than Walker, and his body is, like, that much bigger because he's a bodybuilder. And he has this white sweatshirt on that is tucked into his jeans. And every time he lifts his arms, it's like this kind of like triangle that happens. So every time he swings a punch, you're like, when is it going to come untucked? But his jeans are so tight, it's never coming untucked.
There's some legit dad jeans going on right now.
So Walker kind of fights him fisticuffs at first, no real kicks yet. And then Trivette, after taking out the guy with the mustache, starts taking on the second bad guy with like the 90s pajama pants that you're like, I wouldn't even want to touch those, let alone have him like holding me close to him. And poor Trivette's being like held up against these like nasty like pajama pants, and they're fighting. And then you get back to Walker, and he starts swinging these sweet roundhouse kicks against Mac, aka Flash Gordon, and they're connecting, but you know, he's such a big guy that he kind of just shakes him off, and you're like, oh man, this is gonna be tough. And then finally it goes back to Trivette, and the other bad guy with the nasty pants has kind of got the upper hand on him, and who comes across to help him but Joey, the janitor, who has super strength.
Lenny.
Oh, yeah, Lenny, who has super strength and is able to hold the bad guy so that Trivette can get a punch in there to take him out. And then we get back to Walker, and what happens, Evan?
Well, Walker distributes a serious flurry of roundhouse kicks to Mick. And Mick can only laugh off so many blows to the upper chest and stomach and face. Before he eventually topples over, and he can't really get up because his pants are so tight. And if he sits up, his shirt will become untucked from his unbelted jeans. So he just sort of lays down and admits defeat.
Game over. And Walker kind of just adjusts himself after that, because this whole fight, you realize, oh, he's kept his professor jacket on with the elbow pads the whole time. And he kind of just is like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, they give him extra fighting power. So that epic fight over, we shoot back to the hospital, and Danny, the undercover student, is he's okay. He's fine.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God.
He might not have made it just a few scenes prior, but now they're going to let him out pretty soon. He's fine. He's
doing good. He had internal bleeding, and his brain was hemorrhaging or something.
Yeah.
And he's fine now. And that hospital's awesome.
Seriously.
So that's all good, and for comic relief, I guess, Danny's brother, Joey, the janitor, comes in, and he has somehow smuggled a rodent into a sterile building.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, so this is where they're going to tie in the mice. That's why they had the mice at the beginning of the episode.
He gives his brother a mouse to keep him company, I guess.
In the hospital while he heals. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay. Still weird.
Very strange. Then we cut to a scene where Walker's alone in his classroom, and the principal walks in, and he's all like, I told you, none of them are going to take that test. They're all a bunch of losers. And just as he's saying that, Nina walks in with her test, and then the rest of the class walks in with a test, except for one person.
Tommy.
Yeah. Walker's like, where's Tommy? And then all of a sudden, Tommy walks in the room, and he's like, yo, teach, and throws an apple at Walker. Walker catches the apple. Then he comes in, puts his test on the table, and then gives Walker a fist bump, and they have this really weird eye contact freeze frame.
Ba-dum-bum.
What was that?
But you don't have to take my word for it.
And it's like, don't you forget about me.
Wow.
My question is, after this episode's over, and after Walker has busted this drug ring, I mean, presumably he's got other things to do because it's not his job to be a substitute teacher. So why is he still in the classroom, first of all?
Well, he's got to cash his checks. Substitute teachers in his bank, bro.
Well, okay, so then the other question is, after the AP test, and he's sort of done all of that, and his students have taken that, and he's completed his mission in the classroom, that teacher's not coming back, so like they've got to get another substitute teacher. That's got to be the lamest substitute ever after Walker.
I would not want to be in that substitute's shoes.
They're like, hey, you know, our last substitute teacher had eyes on the back of his head, taught karate. Oh, yeah, he was a Texas Ranger, and he took down a drug ring in our class.
Oh, and Billy died, but okay.
That's right. Yeah, Billy's dead, but it's cool.
Only one student died on his watch, so try to beat that.
Well, that about sums up this episode. We'd like to give a shout-out to our friend and collaborator, Adam Lauritsen, who's been crafting the amazing weekly Walkerstrations on our social medias. Be sure to check out his other art on Instagram at @imaginationrunamuck. When we come back, it'll be time for us to each rate Devil's Turf on a scale of 0 to 10 boots to the face, resulting in our patented Roundhouse Roulette episode ranking. Complete results of which are available on our website, roundhouseroulette.com. Don't go away. Welcome back. Now it's time for us to rate this episode. Who wants to go first?
I guess I will. It's so hard because I really did enjoy watching this, but in comparing it to other episodes, it's really hard to rate it because I could rate it on my enjoyment or on it being a Walker episode, so it's really hard to do. But really, it's not, because we had one of the best Walker episodes recently, Blown Apart, which scored a 9, and obviously that blows this one out of the water. At the same time, this is Walker in some of the cheesiest, most ridiculous things I've seen, but it had the feel of an after-school special, almost like a Lifetime movie kind of thing, and kind of ripping off the movie Dangerous Minds. I'm going to go 6 on this one.
Oof. All right.
Generous.
Quite.
Very generous.
I thought this episode was hilarious.
Yeah. And that's why I had to, I mean, it's funny. It's worth a watch.
Oh, definitely. I thought this episode was really funny. As soon as that kid hopped on that bike and they had those ridiculous scenes of like his crazy face and then him just like crashing into a truck, it was like so over the top.
Yeah.
And I thought that the fact that they had a ridiculous villain who apparently had like no plan whatsoever, things escalated completely out of control as soon as Walker came onto the scene.
I mean, he had plans for more muscles, but beyond that, I don't know what else he had.
Yeah, well, Trevette says early on, he's like, oh, that's the fourth one in 6 weeks. So this guy's been distributing drugs to kids for 6 weeks. It only takes like 2 days now that Walker's a part of this to like have everything come to a head. No, I thought the villain was awesome. I thought the fight scenes were pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
The dialogue was so dumb. This sort of classic soapbox, holier-than-thou Walker as a teacher was too good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I give this one a 7.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
I mean, granted, it had only one explosion, but it did have some sick fights with roundhouse kicks. And I will say, bad guy garb was on point this episode.
Yeah.
So good.
Be Dizzle.
Well, you know, after listening, you guys bring up some good points.
That's why we always have to switch up the order of these things, because I think people get...
I think it might affect my ranking slightly, but it's still going to be significantly lower than what you guys gave. The after-school special thing just killed me in this episode. Well, the pants were fantastic, and the mullets were aplenty.
Yeah.
And Flash Gordon... The whole Walker being a teacher thing, I'm just like, God, get me out of this. End this episode.
I feel like I'm in high school again, bro.
It's just, and all the random characters that don't need to be there. And
I don't think that good.
It makes me want to see an episode where he just spends the whole time in the woods. Like, I'm waiting for them to go into some, like, backwoods. Yeah, that's what I'm craving. Yes. And the more episodes like this I have, just like, I'm just getting more and more down on them. So I gave this one a 4.
All right. So that gives this episode a patented roundhouse kick rating of 5.666 boots to the face. All right. Well, I think we can all agree that most of America's educational issues could be solved simply by installing Walker as a substitute teacher for a week. But let us know what you think on social media or by emailing us at roundhouseroulette@gmail.com. When we come back, we'll spin the roundhouse roulette to select next week's episode. All right, Bob, we need you to pick one with Walker in the woods.
Yeah, that would be sick.
I have no control over this. I'm just the tool that spins the wheel, all right?
Oh, I've heard that about you.
It's like on The Price is Right. There's some strategy to spinning that wheel, so give it a good one.
Hold on. I'm gonna shoot up some Powerball real quick.
Yeah, drop your linen.
Ow. Ooh. Yeah, I just dropped my linens and booted up some Powerball. Yeah, so there we go. Hurrah!
Oh, boy.
that sounds scary.
I love the title.
It's a circle of life. Yeah.
A parolee's attempt to go straight is jeopardized by a gang of criminals in desperate need of his safe-cracking skills.
Oh, awesome. So we've got gangs, heists, people trying to stay on the right path.
Yeah, morality.
1998, a good vintage. We could be in for a good one here, guys.
Okay.
Let's hope so.
Well, we hope you guys will join us next week when we share our reactions and thoughts regarding Season 6, Episode 23, Circle of Life.
Svenja!
It was definitely after The Lion King, so they're copying that probably. Share your opinions with us on Facebook and Instagram at Roundhouse Roulette and on Twitter at Roundhouse Pod. And rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week,
may the eyes of the ranger be upon you.
When your Texas look behind you,
oh, 'cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.